Hey everybody, welcome to Daily Pod, Daily Updates episode for November 9th, 2019. We're back in it. We're up here. We're doing this thing. Thanks for joining us. We got not too many things to talk about. We're going to try to keep this one brief.
Go.
First thing I got to talk about is, this is actually like a little bit old news, but trying to introduce the new 26 measures. You know all about that. Like last year they did 31 measures. Basically it's just like economic things to like try to get Taiwanese people to like acquiesce to their one country, two systems bullshit. But they've kind of kept with the same thing year on year, at least last year and this year. The Thai government like came out and said like obviously this is a divisive tactic like used to like try to, you know, get people to like, you know, bend the knee to China. Yeah, basically to commit treason. So this year it's 26, so it's 13 basically for corporations, 13 for citizens. For corporations, a quick rundown of a few of the major things are like 5G access to technologies, which is basically to steal Taiwanese information, destroy, completely cripple Taiwanese access to the internet. Civil aviation, because China, again, excludes, because of China, Taiwan is excluded from a lot of international aviation boards, and also some credit lines and things like that. So you can get bought up by the CCP, and then like a lot of Southeast Asian nations, they can cripple you and bring you to your knees, and then you have to vote with them whenever they want you to, in the UN and things like that. Obviously, Taiwan is not in the UN because of China. So there's all China things. For citizens, basically, there's things like access to like agricultural cooperation, because China has no pigs right now because they're fucking a garbage nation, garbage government. The people are completely separate from that, but they've managed themselves into a fucking situation where they're basically dropping pigs into fucking pits and burning them alive because they don't know what to do. And there's videos coming out that I retweeted recently of them literally eating cats and skinning dogs alive on Twitter. So that is what it is. Also, they're going to give Taiwanese citizens access to embassies in case of emergencies. And there's a lot of like fake news going around about like how in disaster areas in things like Japan, basically the Taiwanese consulates were like not giving adequate access, I guess, or efficient help to Taiwanese citizens, and most of that's been debunked or challenged at least. And so they're saying like, oh, we'll help you out if you're in need, but you know, it's all kind of a big bullshit campaign to try to get people to abandon democracy and freedom in favor of just some, you know, we'll give you like slightly better access to economic gains or things like that. So
we'll give you 10% off rice for 5 years if you sell your freedom forever.
If you sell your soul to Satan, then you can get $1.25 off your next Happy Meal at Burger King. So it's bullshit, but that's pretty much all I have to say. Anyone that sees these sorts of demands, these measures, should completely disregard them and know that it's just pandering. And also it's pretty uninventive. Like the Chinese Communist Party has yet to do anything except for say like, hey, our economy is like doing pretty well, but actually the Taiwanese economy is getting better, and we've talked about all these things recently. So it's just kind of it's like you can't come up with something better than that. Like it's clear failing, and shows that Chinese propaganda is strong in the fact that it's everywhere, but it's not strong in the fact that it's basically just a big old baseball bat just getting swung against the head of Taiwanese people. And it's, I think a lot of people aren't reacting to it anymore. A lot of young people that I've talked to have basically been like, yeah, my parents want me to move to China, but I'm not that fucking stupid, you know, because I have like ideals that I hold to. And if I say them in China, then I go to a fucking concentration camp. So that is what it is. But that's pretty much all I have to say. I don't know. Do you have anything to add to that?
Nope.
All right, cool. Go with your shiz.
Okay, about the testimony today, that there was pretty damning testimony from Vindman, basically saying that there was a meeting. I believe it was Mulvaney. Mulvaney was holding a meeting with Ukrainian officials, and basically he explicitly brought up quid pro quo, basically saying that they would suspend the military aid. At which point, John Bolton was apparently in the meeting, and he immediately ended it in saying that it was inappropriate, and then told one of the staffers that was there to immediately report it to her higher ups, recognizing that it was an illegal request, and saying that he, quote unquote, wasn't involved in Giuliani's drug deal, or whatever, something of the sort, basically suggesting that that John Bolton was witness to a direct example of this influence buying, this example of treason. So yeah, we should just have the discussion we just had, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely,
which you said,
it's definitely treason.
You said it's not going to lead to impeachment, but I think this is it. I think this is the end, basically. He testifies.
Yeah, that's what a big thing hangs on it, and I just have very little faith in the GOP. I mean, I just don't. I mean, they've shown that they are cucks through and through, and I mean, in a couple of ways, they've shown their strength. Like, I think yesterday or the day before, we talked about how, you know, some of these senators like Marco Rubio and stuff, they support like actual freedom and stuff like that in Hong Kong and things like Xinjiang, etc. But it's just, I just don't believe that they care about anything. I mean, look at Ted Cruz getting cucked. Like, all these people were, oh, Trump is an abhorrent figure. And then now, lo and behold, they all support him. Refusing to introduce legislation that is bipartisan in a lot of cases.
I still think that in the face of this, in the face of explicit evidence that the president was basically involved in what's tantamount to treason, basically, mm-hmm. Colluding with a foreign government to defraud the American electorate, I think that in and of itself, if the Republicans were to ignore it, as I said, would be the end of the Republic, would be the end of democracy in America. If one party is willing to allow their leader to commit high crimes and treason and to go unpunished, then that's the end of American democracy. Because where does the line between there stop and the line between a coup begin? So how is it okay to accept that your leader, the leader of your party, the head of your side, is okay? It's okay for them to commit high treason, but it's not okay for you to stage a military coup.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. Like, I mean, the breakdown of American democracy has been clear for a long time.
I don't agree. I think that if that were the case, it would happen. I think that American democracy is weakened, but I mean, it's never perfect.
I just don't think it's going to be a switch that gets flipped right away. I mean,
if there's a clear case drawn out by my bloody John Bolton, I think that some people will wake up. And if I'm wrong, if nobody reacts to this, then American democracy is dead, and there's really nothing left to save.
Yeah, I think
banana republic.
Yeah, I think
you cannot allow your leader to commit treason.
I agree. I mean, I think there will be some lines drawn. I mean, there already have been in some ways. Like, there are some people. Granted, it's very, very few pushing it back against Donald Trump. Again, it's like a couple people, literally like a handful of people. But after something like this comes out, I think part of the Republican Party will rally around, part of them will, you know, assess the situation and realize that they got to bail now.
You don't need many.
Yeah, it's fair.
15, 16?
Yeah. I more realistically see a rift developing within the Republican Party, where you're going to have people who are, now they act like they've been against Trump this whole time, and then you have some that are just going to stick with him no matter what. I mean, Trump really only has, I mean, he's still got an incredibly high approval rating within his base. So I think a lot of the politicians are going to be looking at that, and they're going to be scared of that. He's got like a 89, 90% approval rating. So I don't know. I'm skeptical, but we'll see, I guess. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. But I do not have a lot of faith in the Republican Party.
We'll see what happens. I mean, but this would be giving the Russians exactly what they've always wanted since the Soviet Union, as well as the Chinese, the destruction of American democracy. The only thing that holds American democracy together, we're not a nation state. We're not an ethnic state. The only thing that holds us together is our Constitution and our shared ideals about the validity of the American Constitution and the democratic way of carrying out our government. And if you lose that, if you think that your party, if you think that you winning stands above the Constitution, above the ideals of our democracy, above freedom, above the reputation at the very least, then the American ideal falls apart, and it's the end of a 250-year project.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks to one man. Thanks to loyalty to one perverted sex demon. Sick.
Yeah, it's I mean that's the thing, is it is in some terms just him, but it's not. It's the corporate greed that has bred these things, and the willingness to sell out ideals of democracy for.
Of course, it's not one man, but it's people's adherence to this one man, this symbol of everything that's evil and wrong with America.
Certainly, that's certainly true.
And he's not wrong in every way. He has valid points. He has valid ideas, but him as a president. Okay, so the other point. I'll just move on to this. One of the things I was talking to one of our colleagues about why some people still support Trump, that he's like this kind of this non-elitist, this anti-elitist, anti-globalist figure. And you know what? It's a fraud. He doesn't stand for anything. All he stands for is weakness and himself. Because in every occasion, every promise he's made to stand up against elitism, against the international order here,
yes,
it's all been lies. He hasn't done anything. He's given corporate tax cuts to the biggest corporations and tax cuts to rich people. All the promises he made to America, he's going to keep America safe. He's going to defeat ISIS. So he defeats ISIS by allowing a 100 ISIS member jailbreak. He's going to stop North Korea from getting a nuclear weapon by sending love letters to Kim Jong-un. Yep. And then capitulating in the face, backing down from sanctions, doing nothing for 3 years and watching North Korea become the geopolitical foe we've feared for 40 years. The weakest president in American history.
Backing out of the Iran deal, yeah.
Backing out of Iran deal and then doing nothing when they challenge our ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Absolutely nothing. Showing cowardice and weakness, backing down in front of Turkey when they threatened our troops. Backing down in front of China when he said they were going to stand strong on trade. All this trade, it's nonsense. The most important Chinese export to America right now is cell phones. And cell phones up till this date are still completely exempt. The most important Chinese export is still flooding into America, spying on us.
Absolutely.
Everything he said is a lie. Sickening lies and weakness.
And to go along with your point about taxes, tax cuts for the rich, but also tax increases for the poor. Like, I mean, don't get it twisted. There was an initial tax cut where I believe the average tax cut for the average American is $40 a year or something. Under $100 a year, I believe. But that sunsets after 10 years, and your taxes go up. Rich people's are literally cut forever under his tax plan.
That's right.
He is an elitist through and through. I mean, look at what he's done with Saudis. We're funding a fucking illegal war and a genocide in Yemen. And he is buddy-buddy with Mohammed bin Salman, who had an American resident cut up in a Saudi embassy. It's insane.
And they pretended he didn't know. He's just a weak man. He doesn't belong in the presidency. He belongs on the golf course.
That's right. That's right. I would think he's a silly man, and I probably would have never thought about him again if he never ran for president. But then he has to come in and just do everything he can to destroy the nation. And yeah, it's kind of hard for me to watch people defend him still, to say the least.
Some people do, and it's on false bases, and it's on the idea of this kind of cultural war, that it's a cultural war against these outside forces. But you know what? He's the cultural outsider. He's not an American. He doesn't share American values. The only thing he cares about is himself. He spits on our Constitution. He backstabs every ally throughout American history. We lost thousands of lives fighting in the Korean War. He says that defending Korea is not important. He says that Japan, which we've defended for 70 years, should be left to fend for themselves and should defend nuclear weapons after we spent so many American lives just sitting on those islands trying to keep Japan from nuclearizing. And then he pals around with the worst terrorists, the worst war criminals, horrific people on the face of the earth, Kim Jong-un, Xi Jinping, Erdogan, all these monstrous dictators. He describes these people as his friends. He has no sense of morals. He's an antichrist.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and speaking of democracy and defending democracy, he didn't take a stance at all on the Hong Kong thing. And by showing his hand and saying...
Yeah, because he wanted the trade deal.
Yeah, yeah. Because he doesn't really... He doesn't even care about the trade deal, which is... The only thing that I can think to defend him on is the fact that he did start the, you know, the quote unquote trade war with China.
Yeah, but it's barely amounted to anything. He hasn't even banned their most important exports, which are fucking telecom equipment and cell phones. It's a joke. He's done nothing. He's banned what, textiles and like small home goods. This is chump change. He's done nothing.
Yeah.
He's a coward.
Absolutely.
And you know what? He's about to turn it over for his good friend Xi Jinping, you know, for some backroom deal that we won't know about, where Ivanka gets to sell more of her perfume tariff-free in China or something like that. The daughter who he has sick fantasies about. Disgusting. Treasonous.
It's gross. Speaking of disgusting and treasonous, Han Guoyu built an illegal structure, and I found out about this. It was illegal, and it was on one of his properties in Zhonghua, because we talked about his property, which was not illegal, but was very expensive and shows that he is not a common man and also not a populist figure. He's a faux populist authoritarian that also, similarly to Trump, wants to sell the country to China. And he, right when he heard about the news stories that were talking about this, he ordered that it be demolished. So Han Guoyu is also a traitor, piece of shit, and that's what these two gross, bald men have in common. But that's pretty much all I have to say about that. I just wanted to add that in there.
Okay, one last thing. I saw a movie today. What was it? Yang Guang Pu Zao, A Sun. It's a Taiwanese movie.
Uh-huh.
It was ridiculously long, like almost 3 hours long, 2 hours and 36 minutes. But it was really striking and visually and cinematically pleasing. The story was great. Strongly recommend it. A great Taiwanese movie.
Yeah, I need to go check that out.
Although it does take place in the north.
That's alright. It's what you gotta do.
It doesn't have to be this way.
So, anyway, the last thing I have to talk about is James Song. Song Shuyu.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, Song Kitchen Waste, Chu Yu, announced that he's going to run. He's the leader of the People's First Party in Taiwan. But this is a good thing, similar to what we talked about yesterday with...
Vote split.
With Bloomberg, is it will probably create a vote split. And that is exactly what he is most famous for in 2000 when he split the KMT vote. And literally was the reason that Chen Shui-bian won.
Chen Shui-bian.
Yep. Is literally the reason Chen Shui-bian won. And he also split the vote in the last election, but that wasn't the reason Tsai Ing-wen won. She would have won either way because she got like 56% of the vote, whereas he got 12, and I think Eric Chu got like 30-something. So it's good. I mean, you know, I don't think Han Guoyu has a fucking shot anyway, but I'll take vote splitting on the opposition side whenever I can get it, you know? So
hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother.
Well, we went fucking way longer than we were planning to.
Fine.
But it's only 20.
Bye-bye.
It's only good 20 night. Minutes, but we love y'all. Do stuff with the podcast, like throw it at your friends and whatever. Just put it in a big old sock full of rocks and hit them over the head with it. But we love y'all. Bye. Bye.